Non-stop talk radio, streaming 24 hours a day.
Whoa, what am I hearing?
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
It's time for the Race Report. Your full-speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
You know, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts, Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwell.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the Race Report.
Whoa, it left him way early. So he's floating that car into the next jump.
And using no brakes. Yeah. He's just floating in there and using no brakes now.
Last owner driver to win a race, Ricky Rudd at Martinsville in September of 1997.
And you're looking at your fuel pressure gauge right now, more than you're looking out the windshield. You're just watching that needle, hoping that it's not going to dive.
Tony Stewart out of the final turn. Made the big move in the offseason.
Here he comes.
To go over to Haas Racing, take over part of the ownership, and Tony Stewart's going to take that team to victory lane.
Bill Weber, Wally Delamack, and Kyle Petty with a call on TNT of Tony Stewart's first points win as an owner driver. Welcome to the Race Report. I'm Steve Parker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
We knew that Tony in victory lane wasn't a case of if, but when. And Jeremy Mayfield never made this much news inside a race car. Let's talk some NASCAR on the Race Report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
Tony Stewart had a pretty successful 10-year career at Joe Gibbs Racing, winning 33 races and two championships. But when he was offered a chance to have a team of his own, couldn't pass it up, though he knew there would probably be some struggles ahead. So far, he's kind of skipped the struggling part. And Sunday at Pocono, Stewart became the first owner driver to go to victory lane since 1998, in spite of what Bill Weber said in the call there. Stewart's team got him out first on a pit stop with 41 laps to go. He then drove out to a comfortable lead, but was going to be close on fuel if the race stayed green. Which it did. Most of the front runners went into fuel-saving mode over the final lap. Stewart slowed down dramatically to make it to the end, but was able to stay out front and win the Pocono 500 ahead of Carl Edwards, David Rudeman, and Jeff Gordon. Ryan Newman actually rounded out the top five. Stewart's seventh top five in the last nine races helps him extend his points lead over Gordon to 71. The plot has thickened in the Jeremy Mayfield drug suspension soap opera. Earlier this week, ESPN the magazine reported that Mayfield tested positive for methamphetamines during a random screening May 1st. Mayfield still contends that he took a double dose of the allergy medication Claritin, which contains pseudoephedrine, which is an ingredient used in the manufacture of methamphetamine, and Adderall, which is prescribed for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Mayfield claims that these two medications combined to produce the positive result, a claim that has been disputed by the doctor overseeing the testing program. Mayfield filed suit against NASCAR to try and get the suspension lifted. NASCAR filed a countersuit claiming Mayfield's use of Adderall without informing them, and his use of the drug at unsafe levels violated the substance abuse policy. Much more on this coming up. And those are the headlines on the Race Report. Coming up on this edition of the Race Report, Tony Stewart slows down enough to win at Pocono. So now, fumes from a fiery Talladega crash could have something to do with Jeremy Mayfield's positive drug test. This just gets weirder and weirder. And one of the upcoming young stars is staying put with his improving team. Michigan, one of the driver's favorite tracks because it's old and worn out. That's what Denny Hamlin says. This is where Dale Earnhardt Jr. got his last victory. Any chance he could get back to victory lane this weekend?
No.
Sam's shaking his head so hard it's going to fall off. All that and more coming up when we come back on the Race Report.
On the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell. Yep, we're back talking NASCAR with you each and every week right here on the Race Report and talking the Pocono 500 this week. And Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart.
Who picked him to win?
Gets his first win.
Who
did you pick
to win?
Tony Stewart?
Yes, I did.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, you never do.
I don't think so. I need to go back and check the tape.
I did because I had a hard time deciding because I said Tony Stewart and I have a dark horse of Kurt Busch.
Mm.
But that didn't work out so well.
Yeah, you're top five.
Kurt Busch?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the standings. I switched to the wrong thing.
Right.
My
Keep
bad.
Up, would you?
Gee, I know. I'm sorry. Well, you know, Tony Stewart was at the top of both lists there, so it confused me. but yeah, in fact, hang on here. I have made an error in my computing.
What?
I know. It's very. I thought I had the race results up, and I was ready to do the full field rundown
that
we always
do.
And,
producer Paul, write this down.
Still,
Steve made a mistake.
This is still messed up. Hang on here. Do you have the list in front of you?
Right here. I'm ready to go.
Well, you know what? Why don't we just go ahead and tell everybody where their favorite driver finished in the Pocono 500? If I can't find it, you can do them all.
My pick and your winner was Tony Stewart in the Office Depot Chevrolet. Second was Carl Edwards. Third, David Rudiman. Fourth, Jeff Gordon. Boy, that was a miracle he finished fourth. Fifth, Ryan Newman. Sixth, Marcus Ambrose. Seventh, Jimmy Johnson. Eighth, Juan Montoya. Ninth, Jeff Burton. Tenth, Sam Hornish Jr.
Okay, hang on. Wait for it. Come on, computer. Go ahead. Do them all.
11th was Greg Biffle. 12th, Clint Boyer. 13th, Jimmy McMurray. 14th, Casey Mears. 15th, Casey Kane. 16th, Matt Kenseth. 17th, Michael Waltrip. 18th, Martin Truex Jr. 19th, Mark Martin. 20th, Reed Sorensen. 21st, Brian Vickers. 22nd, Kyle Busch. 23rd, Joey Logano. 24th, Kevin Harvick. 25th, Elliott Sadler. 26th, David Reagan. 27th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 28th, Bobby Labonte. 29th, Paul Menard. 30th, A.J. Allmendinger. 31st, Robbie Gordon. 32nd, Scott Speed. 33rd, Regan Smith. 34th, David Strimme. 35th, John Andretti. 36th, Dexter Bean. Who? Kurt Busch. 37th.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Dexter Bean? Who
is
that?
Isn't that a cartoon? Dexter Bean.
37th, Kurt Busch. 38th, Denny Hamlin. 39th, Sterling Marlin. 40th, Dave Blaney. 41st, Joe Nemechek. 42nd, David Gillen. And rounding out the list, Patrick Carpentier.
I got it. I got it.
Thanks
now.
For your contribution.
Computers are great when they work. Technology's
right.
Awesome when it works. And but for some reason, I got stuck and was...
No operator error there.
No, I'm sure it was, but I couldn't get to the right thing quick enough, and then it was just dragging. And, you know, computers are never fast when you need them to be. At any rate, now that I do have it in front of me, Tony Stewart, you know, we've been talking since the All-Star race, and really before that, you know, 7 top fives in the last 9 races, and we touched on that last week going into this, that it really wasn't a matter of... if, but when Tony Stewart was going to win.
No doubt.
He had the close finish the week before against Jimmy Johnson at Dover. They battled for that win over the final laps, and he's just been kind of like we've kind of gone in little spurts here. Jeff Gordon early on was the most consistent driver, was solid every week, was piling up top five finishes, and hey, big surprise, he was the points leader for the early part of the season. But now it's been Tony Stewart, just top five after top five, and most of those have been like top threes.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, the top threes, top twos. It's just amazing. This is the feel good story of NASCAR in 2009. It's going to continue to be all season. If by chance Ryan Newman or Tony Stewart win a championship, this will erase every negative story in NASCAR this year.
I think it'll be a much bigger deal if Tony Stewart wins it rather than Ryan Newman. Just because Tony Stewart's a bigger deal than Ryan Newman is, quite frankly. I mean, or Ryan Newman wins a championship, he becomes a bigger deal. But at this point, I mean, because it's Tony Stewart's team, he's the one who made the move. And, you know, it was a case last year. Remember this deal was, Tony Stewart was basically handed ownership of this team. Literally
didn't
handed
cost
it.
Him a
didn't
dime.
Didn't cost him anything. Just basically Gene Haas, hey, you want to own half the team? It won't cost you anything. And it's like, okay, Stewart, how can he turn that down? How can he say no to that?
You can't.
I mean, anybody in the same position would have done the same thing. I mean, there's just no way he could say no to that. So it wasn't like it was this huge, I mean, it wasn't this huge leap of faith thing where, I mean, he's going out on a limb and, I mean, he couldn't say no. I mean, he's won championships, he's won races at Joe Gibbs, he had nothing more to prove there. So why not? When you got a chance like this, anybody would have taken it.
I think it was a leap of faith based upon the fact that this team that he bought into or is now owner of had done nothing, absolutely nothing in the Sprint Cup Series. I think it was a leap of faith going to a team that was just not even mediocre. They were bad.
Well, that's true. He was going to a team that had done absolutely zip. That was the one thing. But, I mean, again, still... It was almost a win-win situation for him. If he goes over there and they continue to struggle, they're going to be like, well, it's not Tony, it's the equipment. They don't have the equipment. How could anybody criticize Tony Stewart for taking an opportunity like that if that's his ultimate goal is to become a team owner? And again, nothing would have been said about Tony Stewart negatively if the team had continued to struggle. So, well, you know, Tony Stewart's great, but it's going to take some time. I mean, this was a win-win. He goes over and they continue to stink. Not his fault because they always stunk. Go over there, and this happens. It just grows the Tony Stewart legend.
Well, and the reason I said that if Ryan Newman would hang around and win the championship is a big story, because if you remember when Tony announced that Ryan Newman was going to be his teammate, there were a lot of people who said, wow, you could have picked maybe somebody a little bit better, a little more talented, somebody who's done a little something in the Cup Series recently. But I'm not going to doubt a thing Tony has done, because I have not seen one mistake he's made since he took over this team, and picking Ryan Newman looks like to be a brilliant selection at this point in the season.
As does the selection of Darian Grubb as his crew chief. Well, that has worked out pretty well, too.
Well, and Bobby Hutchins coming over, and an alliance with Hendrick for chassis and motors has worked out pretty well for them.
That's a big factor too there as well. No doubt about that.
But it's a great, great story. On top of some black eyes that the sport has taken this season, this is a great, great story. And I look forward to continue, because I don't see anything stopping Tony at this point.
Well, the thing is, he has seemed... The one interesting sidelight to this story, I think, has been Tony's personality this season. We know how, shall we say, prickly he can be, you know, and he hasn't been that way at all.
But everything's just odd.
But everything's going great. You know, chances are there are some bumps in the road coming. Let's see how Tony is if he has a couple of 37th place finishes a couple of weeks in a row and things start to slip a little. I just wonder, I mean, is he really feeling that much better about his career and everything involved with this?
He's got a different perspective now, though.
Maybe. Stick around. Coming back with more on the Race Report.
NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell. You know, now I'm going to talk about the standings, and I still can't find that. What is going on with this thing?
You need an intern over there to help you out.
Why don't we get one? Can we do that?
Producer Paul, will you get on that this week, please?
Yeah.
Get on that. That'll intern work. For Mr. Parker.
All right. We need to. I have it now. I wanted to look at the standings. As mentioned, Tony Stewart, of course, is the points leader now for the second week in a row. After his stretch, he and Jeff Gordon now lead the series with 7 top fives apiece. Stewart leads with top tens, 10 of them, to Gordon's 9 and Jimmy Johnson's 9. Johnson is right behind with 6 top fives. So probably those good consistent finishes. Why those guys are the top 3 in points?
I'll tell you what, Mr. Gordon is very fortunate to be where he was in Sunday's race.
Yes.
Because, wow.
They tried to steal one on rain first.
Jeff said to Steve Letarte, you're going to have to perform some magic and pit strategy because this car is junk.
Yeah, and it was driving like it.
It was driving
as
like
I often say, when somebody has a real bad stretch, when they just miss it for a little bit, he couldn't have gone backwards faster had he turned around and driven.
It was bad news for him. And they did try to steal one on rain, and at the last minute, it just wasn't working. And Steve Letarte, as he was coming out of turn 3, he started screaming at Jeff, pit now, pit now, pit now. And they came in for gas.
And that's what ended up getting them a good finish.
That's what ended up getting them the fourth place finish, because they had enough to make it to the end, and some other guys gambled and lost.
Yeah, like Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson ended up with a 7th place finish, but he ran out on the front straightaway on the last lap. I mean, he made it out of turn 3, but he lost a top 5 finish there. Carl Edwards was in fuel saving mode along with Tony Stewart. David Ruderman, a couple of weeks ago, he got one on rain, but he gets another top 5 finish with his strategy working out. And again, Ryan Newman, top 5. And how about Marcus Ambrose? 6th place finish for him. I mentioned Jimmy Johnson slipping to 7th. Juan Montoya, he didn't steal anything. Juan Montoya ran well all Sunday afternoon. He was good all day. Jeff Burton finishes 9th. And another good run for Sam Hornish Jr. Two guys that are really starting to turn things around, seemingly, and starting to get more decent finishes. Sam Hornish Jr., of course, Joey Logano, who we talked about. Now, Joey Logano ended up 23rd. But ran a little better than that. I mean, he ran up closer to the top 10 most of the afternoon. Things didn't quite work out at the end for them.
Well,
running so much better.
What hurt some of these guys so much on Sunday at Pocono was the gigantic long green flag runs.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, if your
car's... And is there anything worse than Pocono with long green flag runs?
No.
It just strings out and
no. The only thing worse
could
be...
wait, what lap are we on now?
The only thing
28?
The only thing worse could be this weekend in Michigan. and they could have a gigantic, huge 400-lap green
flag. But, you know, but usually Michigan's one of those tracks, so kind of like Atlanta, where you don't see them string out like that. There's so many racing grooves there. Pocono is still, as old as Pocono is, it's so flat and it's so fast, it's pretty much a one-groove racetrack. I mean, you really have, especially through turn three, I mean, you've got to be right at the bottom, and that's about it. I remember working a race there for MRN a few years ago, and Jim Phillips, longtime pit reporter for MRN Radio, we were at the hotel getting ready to walk out, and he comes up to me and he goes, start practicing how many ways you can say single file on the bottom. Because I was working turn three. And I mean, that's basically what it amounts to. I mean, Pocono's a one groove racetrack for the most part. Michigan is not. Michigan's white line all the way up to the wall. So the racing's usually quite a bit better there, but you are right. You can see long green flag runs there in Michigan as well. In fact, I think 1999, Dale Jarrett won a caution-free race
Free race.
And I don't think anybody got within 10 seconds of it.
No, it wasn't even close.
It was pretty ugly.
But back to Pocono, you know, watching that race and Tony Stewart going into fuel-saving mode, well, he still won by, what, like 3 seconds?
Well, yeah, because Carl Edwards had to slow down the same amount.
Because it was, but he had built such a huge lead that he had the option to go into fuel saving mode to pick up the victory. And what a great, awesome story that is.
Yeah, it really is. It really is and probably will continue to be because so many people, I mean, I thought Tony Stewart would do well. I thought he'd have a better year than you did going in. You thought but I didn't think he'd do this. I mean, I didn't think he'd be leading the points after 14 races. I thought he might have a win. I wasn't going to be surprised to see him get a victory, but he's been pretty dominant the last month and a half, and it's been pretty impressive. Also looking down, guys, I got good finishes out. Greg Biffle in 11th place, Clint Bowyer 12th, Jamie McMurray 13th place is pretty good for him. Another good decent run for Casey Mears, and Casey Kane, who won the race a year ago at Pocono, finishes 15th. He's just not really getting it turned around. And let's see, let me go down, let me keep going. 27th place.
Wow.
For NASCAR's most popular driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr. He and Lance McGrew didn't get it working out there.
Didn't happen. And the hopes of a chase berth for the 88 team are just gone.
It's
over.
No, he's not making the chase. You know, and go ahead and call it here, and I don't think it's going out on a limb. He's not making the chase. You know, we've been talking the last few weeks. They need to turn it around. Well, it's past that. I just don't see this team at all making the turnaround they're going to have to make to get in the chase. Now, I know there are still plenty of races left, but I just don't see it happening. I'm Dale Earnhardt Jr. not in the chase this year.
Nope.
It would be a miracle of all time. It would surpass what Mark Martin and Matt Kenseth did a couple of years ago, but no. Dale Earnhardt Jr. not making the chase. Just don't see it happening. Stick around. Coming back with more in the second half of the Race Report.
If it happens on the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back. Thanks for joining us on the Race Report here on the radio. And, of course, always check us out online, racereportradio.com.
Oh,
that's your cue to talk about
racereportradio.com.
Webmaster.
That's right. Remember the master part there, buddy. Yeah, racereportradio.com, where you can go to get all your NASCAR news, all the hardcore stuff, none of the fluff, all of the meat and potatoes.
What
it's
did
the
I
meat
see?
Meat and potatoes NASCAR site.
I was thinking of something. I can't remember. Darn it, I wanted to be sure and mention that, too. I saw something on another NASCAR website this week that was just the Marty Smith from NASCAR.com won a fishing tournament. That's the kind of junk you won't see at RaceReportRadio.com.
You won't see it on our website, absolutely.
Because I'm guessing
not.
If you're a race fan,
I'm not into that. I'm not
you
into
probably don't
circle.
Care about that.
Not into that circle. and you know, I spend a lot of time on the internet, obviously, because I do a lot with our website. But I go out there and look at a lot of other websites just to see what's out there, to see what we're competing against.
And steal the good stuff.
Well, no, I don't steal it. No. No, I don't do that. But it is amazing the number of websites you can go out there in NASCAR that you click on something and it's May of 2007.
Yeah.
June
well, it's
of
not just
2008.
NASCAR websites. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, what? It's if you're going to do this, and this is why we put off doing a website for so long, because we weren't going to do it till we could do it right and not have you click on a link that said Daytona, the 50th anniversary of NASCAR. It just wasn't going to happen like that. And that's why we do it the way we do it. We give you the, like I say, the meat and potatoes of the NASCAR news. You don't need to go anywhere else. You can get your race forecast, the schedule of what's going on at the track, when cars are on the track, none of the other stuff that goes on there. It's just your man NASCAR website.
If you want to know about Marty Smith catching fish, don't go to our website. You have to go somewhere else to look for that stuff.
ESPN, whatever it
is. Yeah, I guess so. Whatever. At any rate, because I messed this all up, I've thrown the whole equilibrium of the show up because I've had these computer problems, and I apologize for the fumbling about I've been doing. But I did run a real quickly run down the point standings, and we will hear from the top finishers at Pocono. Stewart, of course, is the points leader. Jeff Gordon, 71 back. Jimmy Johnson, third. So your top three remain the same as they were going into Pocono. Ryan Newman jumps a spot to fourth, and Kurt Busch is fifth. Carl Edwards climbs five places to sixth. Greg Biffle, seventh. Eighth, Matt Kenseth. Kyle Busch, ninth. Down another three places. Oh, yeah. Kyle Busch stunk it up again at Pocono. Nice job. And busting up the guitar at Nashville.
Oh, that was classy, wasn't
it? Yeah. That, you know, I don't care what he says about, well, I wanted to give a piece of it to my teammates. That was still a classless thing to do and disrespectful to Sam Bass, who designed the guitar. If you want to give it to your teammate, that's great. That's a great sentiment to share it with the team, you know, but take good care of it in victory lane. Take it back to the shop and cut it up and give it to the guys.
Yeah, don't make a spectacle of
it. That was the thing. He wanted to make a spectacle of it.
That's what he is. He's a spectacle.
And I thought it was very disrespectful, and I thought a classless move and just typical Kyle Busch. Where'd I leave off? Oh, yeah, Kyle Busch, the idiot. Jeff Burton is 10th, 11th, David Rudiman, and Denny Hamlin. My pick for Pocono, who finished, I think he finished 63rd, I think.
If there was a 63rd, he would have been there.
His car stopped running on the first lap. How do you roll a car out? You know, they do all the pre-race check stuff. How does your car quit on the first lap?
I do not know. And, you know, it's amazing how that's happened in the past. And
there's some
don't
kind, he has
it.
Some kind of magnetic field around him that disables fuel pumps or something. They have had more fuel problems with that 11 car at Joel Gibbs Racing. It's like the fuel just can't not get from the fuel tank to the engine for some reason.
And
is Denny sitting on the fuel line, or what's going on there?
I don't know what it is, but I thought of that because, you know, he's had some good runs at Pocono, and hopefully, oh, he was hoping
last
that
Sunday wasn't one of them.
He was hoping to do that again, and just was not to be.
Here's somebody who had a good effort at Pocono, and it was a good team effort, and Tony talks about that. Of course, how about pulling out the backup car? Crashing in practice. He was going to start on the pole because they had to set the field by points because they had qualifying rained out, but Stewart had to come to the back to the front, and he talks about the great pit work by his team that helped him win.
You know, there at the end there, we had an awesome pit stop. I mean, our guy's been doing such a great job all year, and you know, come in second and come out with a lead like that, I mean, that was really the turning point for us there at the end. And, you know, once we got that lead and were able to hold Carl off, you know, they went into the fuel mode and tried to conserve, and as soon as we got a little bit of a lead, we were able to do the same thing. So, you know, it's just at that point listening to Darian, and he knows what pace we need to run, and, you know, he just kept backing me down. When I'd get going too hard or too quick, he would tell me he needed more, and we'd slow down a little more. So you hate to have to kind of be in that situation, but unfortunately that's a theme here when we come to Pocono a lot of times, with it being such a large track like this.
And again, things have gone pretty well for Tony Stewart as an owner driver this season, but he talks about putting the team together last fall. He said that was really the hard part, and he learned some lessons from his former football coach boss.
The hardest part for me was last fall. That was the most stressful part of it for me. You know, and that was, you know, getting these key people in place. That part was not easy. There were a lot of nights, and there were a lot of midnight meetings where, you know, we had to sneak people in the shop because they were somewhere else, and Joe Gibbs is flown around in the middle of the night to recruit players, and so you take those lessons you learn and you meet with guys at midnight when nobody's around, and that was the hard part. But the good thing is when you hire the right people, you don't have to, you know, it has made my life a lot easier this year, you know, after getting through the winter and getting to Daytona and getting into the swing of things. I mean, you got guys like Joe, and you got guys like Bobby Hutchins, and you got Darian and Tony Gibson that you don't have to worry.
He has put together a pretty good crew there at Stewart Haas Racing for that, I almost said the 20 car, for the 14 car. 20's the old one. He used to drive that. Anyway, things are going pretty well for Tony Stewart. He has put together a good group there. Take a break. When we come back, we will hear from second place Carl Edwards, saying he could have raced Tony, but he's pretty happy with where he finished. He's racing for points already. And we will hear from Tony Stewart's crew chief, who I think is not getting enough credit for the great start this team is off to. All that and more when we return on the Race Report.
You can almost smell the hot oil and burnt rubber through the radio. Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the race report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. We want to get into this Jeremy Mayfield thing because that's taken a couple of more dozen strange twists in the last week. But real quick, did want to hear from second place finishing Carl Edwards last week at Pocono. Of course, he says he probably could have run down Stewart.
Man, to be that close to victory and to not win, that is frustrating. The cool part about it is we kind of felt like we were in the form that we were in at the end of last season. You know, we ran really well. I could pass people. I felt like if Tony and I had to race there at the end, I felt really good about my chances of being able to, just win the race on speed. So the points are great, though. That's really what it boils down to. All this is great, but you got to keep your pride in check and know that the real race is with 10 to go. So I definitely take something good out of this.
And he means 10 races to go. And I heard another quote from Carl Edwards earlier this week after the race at Pocono talking about, he goes, hey, I know what it's like to win races. I want to win the championship. He basically, Carl Edwards is racing for points now. And all he's racing for basically is getting the chase. It's kind of like we've talked about before, Sam, when you're in a pretty comfortable points position, which he really is right now, he's pretty certain to make the chase. If you can't win the race, which of course gets you bonus points when they set the chase field, finishing 10th isn't any better really than, or isn't any worse than, or finish any better than finishing second. I mean, 10th, second, 15th, it's about the same thing. The points difference isn't all that much. You're racing for that victory. And that's, if you can't get that, just sit where you are and get the most points you can. Why take a chance on running down Tony Stewart and running out of gas?
But be prepared. This will be a different Carl Edwards come the final 10 races. I remember last year at Kansas when he passed Jimmy Johnson going into turn three.
Well, then it's all about every single point you can get. It completely changes over those final 10.
But it was just amazing because everybody at the track and every driver on the track knew there's no way he can make that car stick.
He thought he just used the wall to turn.
But I think he's in a good place by saying, hey, I'm okay with second because I've got the goal is in sight.
Championship. He said basically he doesn't care about winning races this year. That's not what he's out there for. He's there to win one thing, and
although
that's the Sprint Cup.
Although the bonus points going into the chase would be a little nice to have.
Well, that's true. But if you can't get that win, I mean, if you're not, don't have, if you don't think you have a winning car, don't take a chance on going from maybe second or third to 15th. All right, and real quick, wanted to hear from Darian Grubb. You know, the pit crew that's done so well for Tony Stewart that he was very complimentary of a little bit earlier when we heard from him, that's basically the 66 crew from last year. And Grubb says they've worked really hard to be one of the best on pit road.
Actually, the majority of those guys were the old 66 team Haas pit crew. We work with those guys, and I feel like they're one of the best pit crews on pit road. They have worked so hard this year, getting faster and faster. Our jackman, Mike Casto, is actually here today. He got hurt a few weeks ago back at the shop just during practice.
They're working hard in practice, sounds like.
Guys you're getting injured hurt in practice.
They made a big difference in the race on Sunday, and Tony Stewart gave them credit for getting him out first on that late pit stop, and that really led to him getting out front. And we know what happens when somebody gets out front with this car. Usually they set sail and see you later.
Gone.
All right, this Jeremy Mayfield thing has gotten weirder and weirder. Producer Paul Knauer here brought up a good point during the break. One thing, we've seen so many incidents in all sports of athletes getting in trouble with drugs. Usually it's performance-enhancing. Roger Clemens, Alex Rodriguez come to mind maybe most recently. Manny Ramirez, of course, in baseball, and a lot of others in other sports. And sometimes Roger Clemens especially comes to mind as somebody when it first came out, he didn't really seem all that interested in disputing it or to argue about it. Jeremy Mayfield, you got to give him credit. Right from day one, when this positive result was announced and he was suspended back on May 9th, he has said, no way, no how did I do this. This is wrong. He got a lawyer and was going to file suit, which he ended up doing, trying to lift the ban. He has said right from the start, I didn't do this. I didn't take this. Well, now it comes out this week, ESPN, the magazine, citing sources, whoever they are, citing sources that...
independent sources, which means... independent of each other.
That he tested positive for methamphetamines. Now, that's serious stuff there. That's obviously serious stuff. There is a bit of a gray area here, and you and I have both been reading some of this, and it gets weird stuff that I don't understand, all the different strains of methamphetamines and all this. But apparently, again, he admits to taking the double dose of Claritin D, the over-the-counter allergy medication, and then this prescription drug Adderall, which treats hyperactivity disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He still maintains that those two combined produce this positive result. And I guess pseudoephedrine, which is an ingredient in Claritin, is an ingredient that's in methamphetamines.
Yes.
So it gets strange. I mean, maybe it's possible. How? Maybe it's possible that this...
Maybe it is. I'm by no means a chemist. I'm no means a pharmacist. I'm no means a doctor. If I was a doctor, I wouldn't be on this show. But
oh, sure you would. You'd love to talk NASCAR.
I have some problems with the way this happened, because I have been subject to drug testing in my past because of employment situations. When you take the drug test, they ask you, are you taking any kind of medication at this time that might show up in this drug test? And they ask you for prescription stuff that's being prescribed by a doctor. They ask you for over-the-counter stuff. They ask you for cold medicine. They ask you for anything you've taken that might affect the outcome of this drug. Apparently, he did, according to reports, say he had taken Claritin before he took this drug test. Comes back with a positive. Then he says, oh, by the way, I was also taking this prescription drug by my doctor. He did this after the fact.
He didn't mention the Adderall prior to the test.
No, he did not. And always when you get a positive result on a drug test, there's always a second test given to rule out any error in the first test. That was done in this case. They both came back positive for the same reason, apparently. Something's not adding up here. And in any situation, there's two sides to every story, and the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, usually.
If the test for methamphetamine is positive, and he did take methamphetamine, it's not the first time he took it. I guarantee you.
I just gotta think, and I know it's always so easy when this comes up to just go, he's a druggie, took drugs, you know, idiot, stupid. Why do you do that? I just have a hard time believing that Jeremy Mayfield's that dumb. That he would take something like that, be taking something dangerous like that, when he knows there's a possibility he could be tested. I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe somehow these drugs did combine and trigger this positive test. I hope it comes out. NASCAR, of course, now has countersued him because he didn't report the Adderall, and it's just getting weirder and weirder.
If he did do it, he's done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. We're not quite done yet, but almost. Last part of the race report's coming up after this.
If you want NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to The Race Report.
And welcome back to The Race Report. Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell wrapping it up here and getting ready to look ahead to this week at Michigan. The 2-mile D-shaped oval in the Irish Hills, a little bit to the, I think, west of Detroit. I've been there a couple of times. But anyway, it's pretty much a carbon copy of Auto Club Speedway that used to be California Speedway. Out in Southern California, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. gets the win there a year ago. You know, before, let's back up just real quick, because something else I wanted to touch on briefly about the Jeremy Mayfield thing, and we did mention it earlier and then didn't really elaborate. There was also something talked about. He was asked if he had taken any kind of inhaler, such as a Vicks inhaler, because of his allergy problems.
Specifically asked him,
and he said no. But apparently a week or two, and I'd have to go back and look at the schedule, I don't remember, but just a week or two prior to that, there was a race at Talladega, and he was involved in a crash. There was some fire, and he said he inhaled fumes, and so they're wondering if maybe something he inhaled in the fire fumes could have possibly...
You start saying stuff like that, and I think you start to lose credibility.
That gets a little bit goofy there. That does get a little bit goofy there. But, you know, at any rate, I'm hoping for the best for him. Jeremy Mayfield's always been a little bit odd. I mean, he was at Penske Racing with Rusty Wallace, and that didn't work out. And then he was the debacle that was his stint at Evernham Motorsports. They ended up going to court, and it was pretty ugly. So Jeremy Mayfield's had his moments of strangeness, I guess.
I will say, you know, not strangeness in my opinion, just idiocy. I mean, idiocy. At Penske, the way he came out against his team and the things he said in public about his team, which led to his firing. And then the things he ran his mouth at Evernham Motorsports about the owner and this and that and the other, and he got fired. The guy is not as far as his career is concerned, he's not been the sharpest pencil in the box.
Yeah, and he's not been real big on accountability at times when things haven't gone well. He seems to quickly point the finger at others. So, I mean, I will say that, but I still really want to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe somehow, because, and again, I do, it is refreshing to see an athlete immediately jump to his own defense, which a lot of times these guys don't, and usually it's because they're guilty. But he has seemed very adamant right from the beginning. I mean, he hasn't seen it. He's been very adamant right from the start. As soon as this was announced that he had tested positive and he was suspended, he's like, no, no, I didn't do it, and I'm going to prove it. Well, we'll see if he can somehow. But you're right. Unless he can, beyond a shadow of a doubt, clear his name, and how can he really do that, his career's over.
There will always be a doubt there.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the problem with this drug testing situation. If you come up with a positive, correct or incorrect, you are tainted.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, real quick, we're running out of time here, but Michigan this week, Dale Earnhardt Jr. got the win a year ago on fuel mileage.
Happening.
Don't think he's going to do it again. Be nice to see him get back, at least run well. Carl Edwards has won two of the last four races there. He won last fall.
That's
and Roush Racing has done extremely well. I'm going to go with that team, but not that driver. I don't know the Carl Edwards. I'm still waiting for Greg Biffle to get a victory, and I think he's going to get it this week. He won two in a row back there in 04 and 05, so I'm going to go with the 16 team and Greg Biffle going to victory lane at Michigan. Whatever happens, we, of course, will wrap it up with you next time right here on the Race Report, and you can always check out racereportradio.com. Have a great week.
Good job, guys. Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.